Ah, dearest Jesus, what law have you broken that such sharp sentence should on you be spoken? Indeed, what can we offer to you, dear Savior, on this night? We come not to give, but to receive. We come to remember what you have done for us. In great humility, we pray, grant, O Lord, that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We confess our sins, the sins that caused our Savior's death, based on the seven words of our Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, on this most solemn occasion, we ask you to look on us with compassion. We confess our many sins to you and ask you to forgive us for Jesus' sake, even as also you interceded for us from the cross.
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
We are ashamed of our past lawlessness, and we realize that we deserve nothing but punishment. According to your mercy, forgive us, as you did the repentant thief who died with your Son. Speak to our hearts with the words your dear Son spoke to him.
I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.
Provide, O Lord, for our earthly needs, as even in your most bitter agony you provided for your dear mother.
Dear woman, here is your son.
We thank and praise you, dear Savior, that you suffered hell for us in our place. Now we need never fear the separation from God that you had to suffer. Send, we pray, the Holy Spirit into our hearts to strengthen our faith. Grant us a longing and a thirst for your words of life.
I thirst.
Grant that we never try to do for ourselves what only your Son could do for us. We acknowledge that our salvation is complete in Jesus' suffering and death, and that our own works can earn us nothing. The debt has been paid in full.
It is finished.
Finally, dear Father, take us from this day forward and make us your own in all things. We are your servants. With our dying breath, may we pray as did your Son. Be seated. Our scripture reading for this evening is that magnificent Old Testament prophecy of the event that we commemorate this evening, found in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah the prophet. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a dry root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Here ends our scripture reading. Please rise for our response, our confession of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. First word. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. We talk much about forgiveness, but usually the setting is the comfort of our church or our homes, heated, air-conditioned, the safety of our homes. Jesus' thoughts turn to forgiveness in the most heinous situation, the worst imaginable circumstances, when there was no evidence of repentance from anyone. And when those he forgave were in the midst of torturing him, literally to death. It was then that Jesus centered his thoughts always on others, never on himself. He could see what we often fail to see, which is beyond the immediate pain and suffering, beyond the discomfort, beyond this life, to the eternity that will follow. And he recognized always that every human being will stand before his Father in judgment, and that the unbeliever will be sentenced to everlasting condemnation. So it was that even as he was being crucified, he looked at his tormentors with compassion and love and prayed to his Father that they might be forgiven. Where human beings are often very casual about hell, Jesus never was. Hell is not a joke. It's not a punchline. It's not a setting for a movie. It is a very real place to which all unbelievers will one day be sentenced. And it was again mindful of this that Jesus offered his personal forgiveness to those who demonstrated no remorse, even as they carried out that barbarous act against him. And yet recognize that Jesus did not say this prayer for them alone. He prayed thus also for you and me. You and I are the Roman soldiers. Our sins pounded the nails. You and I are the angry mob. Our sins called for his crucifixion. You and I are the cross. Our sins called for Jesus' crucifixion. Our sins caused his death. By offering his perfect life in that death on the cross, Jesus was sending to his Father the greatest, most selfless prayer ever spoken. Father, forgive them. Direct their punishment onto me. So we pray. Forgive us, dear Lord, for our many sins, those that trouble our hearts, and those that are known only to you. Amen.
Thank you.
Second word. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." During his life on earth, when speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus once gave that beautiful gospel promise that we've come to know so well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus could not have demonstrated his love more clearly than he did on the cross on that terrible night of his crucifixion. And yet there Jesus demonstrated that he not only loved the world, he cared about and loved the individual. Two men were crucified with Jesus, both criminals, both by their own admission, receiving the due penalty for their crimes. And yet at the very end of life, the two took very different paths. One, as far as we know, continued to reject and ridicule Christ. And the other was brought to faith in that Savior Jesus. And Jesus assured him that he would awaken in heaven with his Savior. The message to us ought to be clear. The blackest sins of the most terrible past have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. There is no life so bad that Jesus cannot save it. There is no sin so terrible that Jesus didn't pay for it. There is no stain of sin so indelible that Jesus' blood cannot remove it. It is never too late, not while we are living, for the Holy Spirit to turn us to the Lord Jesus and thereby save us. It is unbelief alone that condemns us. And this is proven by this criminal who in the last hour was brought to faith. Surely, surely we can tell that he had no good works to pay for his sin. A lifetime deserving of crucifixion. And yet behold the grace and love of our God that in that 11th hour, through faith, that man was saved. The same message our Savior speaks to us this evening. Today, paradise belongs to you. So also we pray, Lord Jesus, grant us a strong faith that we too may join you in paradise when you call us from this life. Amen. third time our Savior spoke. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Once again, we see the selflessness and the love of our Savior Jesus. His compassion in the midst of utter agony, agony beyond our comprehension. He showed his love to the soldiers. He showed his love to the thief, the malefactor crucified alongside of him, and now he shows his love to his own mother. Knowing as he did the special pain that his mother was experiencing, and knowing also that John would not be martyred but would outlive her, he gave them to each other as mother and son. From that day on, John cared for Mary willingly. Out of love for his Savior, the common bond that united them was their love for Jesus. Recognize that it is that same love that ties us together, that unites Christian with Christian, that binds us to every Christian in this country, that joins us to every Christian in the world, those that are alive and those who have gone ahead, the Holy Christian Church. It is that same love of the Savior that binds us together. The Bible calls us children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So now we also resolve on this night to seek to demonstrate that same loving concern, not only for family members, but for all of those for whom our Savior suffered. To this end, we pray. Compassionate Savior, provide your tender care for each of us in all our needs, both of body and of soul. Amen. Chapter of Mark's Gospel. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Darkness had enveloped that hill, and it was at this point that we see the true suffering of our Savior on Good Friday. Jesus was suffering the agony of hell for us, separation from his heavenly Father, as he paid the penalty for the combined total of the sins of the world. And it was not for his sin. He had none. He took our sin on himself. Jesus became cursed for us. God the Father, in his righteous anger, now turned away from his own Son. And truly, this is something that man will never be able to fully comprehend. God abandoned by God. This is the terrible suffering of Good Friday. Look not to the nails in the cross. Two other men were suffering the same. Jesus' real suffering is shown in these very words, my God, why have you forsaken me? What worse punishment can exist beyond separation from God? Knowing, as only he could, what this really means, Jesus willingly endured this unspeakable suffering for one reason: that you and I might never have to speak those horrible words for ourselves. Because of what he did, we will never have to say, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus has taken our place. And the result, thanks be to God, is that sin, death, and hell no longer have any power over us. We pray. Lord Jesus, grant that the message of your suffering might remind us that you continue to love us, even though all of life sorrows. Amen. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. The end was near. The terrible suffering was almost complete. And yet Jesus knew that to almost finish the work that he came to do, that his Father sent him to earth to complete, was to not finish. It was to fail. There could be no prophecy left unfulfilled, not a single law broken, not one commandment violated. Because only a perfect life could be offered to the Father as payment for our sins. Even so, Jesus continues to love us while suffering hell for us. to the bitter end. His concern, again, is for us sinners. And his singular goal was to finish the course laid out by his Father. He does not give up. He does not compromise. He does not waver. Perfection, he knew, was the only satisfactory payment for our sins. And what is the message for you in that this evening? Jesus left nothing undone. He finished the course his Father had laid out for him. And he will never give up on you. What comfort there is in knowing that we do not have a God that gets tired, that gets bored, that loses interest. We have a Savior who will never abandon us. And yet don't imagine that here finally at the end Jesus was thinking of himself, that he asked for a drink because he wanted something, though he certainly would have been entitled. He asked for this drink not only to fulfill prophecy, Psalms 69 and 22, but because those Psalms prophesied, told us ahead of time that his tongue would not be able to speak. It would be stuck to his jaws. And so Jesus asked also for this final drink because of what he wanted to say next. Because the world needed to hear what he would say next. So, dear Jesus, we pray. O perfect Savior, when we see such great evidence of sin in our lives, fill us with confidence that you have done all things perfectly and that you have kept the Father's will in our place. Amen. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Finally, the long journey was ended. The great gift, the promise made already in the Garden of Eden and repeated throughout the Old Testament to God's people, finally that gift is given. God himself completed the payment for man's sin. With a final single word, tetelestai, Jesus assures us for all time and eternity that nothing has been left out. Nothing can be added. Nothing could have been done any better. Not only was Jesus' life on earth finished, the salvation plan for all mankind was finished, completed, sealed for all time and eternity. That payment once made cannot be rescinded. It cannot be canceled. It can only be rejected by the very ones that this Savior died to save. The result for you and me is that now, when our sins trouble us, and when we imagine that we must somehow earn God the Father's love, that we must do something before He can forgive us, then we can look, we must look to the cross. And we must hear that word, tetelestai. It is finished. There is no part left for us to do. No special feeling or good work that will make what Jesus did complete. We insult Him if we try. Our salvation has been bought and paid for with the blood of the Son of God. It is finished. So we pray, O victorious Savior, remove, we pray, all of our fears. For You have accomplished all things necessary for our salvation and have delivered to us the victory over sin, death, and hell. Amen. One final time, our Savior spoke. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. And having said this, He breathed His last. The final moment had now arrived. The light of the world was extinguished. Jesus, the Son of God, died. Yet though mankind's sin was the reason for Jesus' death, man did not kill Jesus. Matthew, in his gospel, tells us that Jesus Himself yielded up His spirit. Again, we read in John 10, Jesus said, I lay down My life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from Me, but I lay it down of My own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from My Father. Again, what love the Savior has for us, for all of mankind. The Good Shepherd has laid down His life for His sheep. What a friend we have in Jesus. And yet our Savior leaves us with one last word. Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. What depth and meaning is contained in that simple sentence. With these words, Jesus shows all mankind that death did not conquer Him. He conquered death. With these words, Jesus indicated that in dying, He was again reconciled to God the Father. and therefore that you and I, with this prayer, are also reconciled to God the Father. With his victory over death, Jesus also won victory over death for us. We who no longer have to fear death, for death has the power over us has been broken. We now, when our God calls us from this veil of tears, can pray this same prayer with absolute confidence. Because of what Jesus did, we can pray, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Throughout this service, we witness the darkening shadows of that first original Good Friday. We recognize again the darkness that reigns in our lives apart from our Savior, Jesus. As you now leave this church building in silence, remember the terrible suffering of our Savior, and yet do not leave in despair. Before we leave, that final candle, the Christ candle, will be removed, symbolizing Jesus' death. His body did die, and yet the candle remains lighted because we know that his spirit did not. And so though we mourn our sins as we contemplate our Savior's unimaginable suffering on this Good Friday, we do not mourn as those who have no hope. We trust our God. We trust our Savior. He accomplished what he came to earth to do, and dying, he returned to his Father to be raised again on that third day. And so as you contemplate this night again, the suffering and death of your Savior, do so with sorrow, but also with confidence, knowing that on the third day his Father raised him from the dead. Therefore, he will also raise all of his children who, dying, believe in that Savior. To you, O Lord, we pray. Lord Jesus, through life, may we rest in your hand, and in death, may we commit ourselves to your care. We trust that it was for our eternal life that you died. Preserve us unto our end. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.